God. This morning, I just want to talk about discouragement. Somebody say discouragement. I felt the Lord placing this thing in my spirit, and I realized that the enemy is using this tool to bring down so many people that are in the household of faith. Maybe I'll begin by asking, which is really a no-brainer question. How many of you have ever been discouraged? I know, you're like, Pastor, are you serious? You know, this is just like asking you, are you human? Maybe some of you might be even discouraged as you're sitting down there, praise the Lord. And you feel you have been lifted up, even though you feel like, you know, there's something that has bogged you down. And something that has put you down, and you feel like it's taking forever, or you feel like your hopes have been shattered along. But you know what? I just want to thank God, because the Bible says that He will always be with us. You know, I read a portion of a statement that was put by somebody, and that statement said that God is not an absentee God. You know, He is not an absentee God. You know, you can be absent from your work and they can excuse you. You can be absent from the church. You can be absent from the body. You can be absent from so many things. But God is never an absentee God. Amen? That is one thing. That is one of the greatest consolations that we can have as a believer. To know that no matter what you go through, that God is always there. He is always at the doorstep when you need Him. When we knock at His door, He's always with open arms ready to receive us. But sometimes when you're going through situations and when you're bombarded by things, issues of life, it seems like sometimes He is far away. I don't know how many of you have sometimes prayed to God concerning a certain issue, and it seemed like eternity. It seemed like God is way far off. It seemed like He shut His doors and He shut, you know, all the avenues even for Him to hear you. But the fact of the matter is, you may not feel, you may not even comprehend it. You may not even put it together with your mind. Into your mind, how close God is. But the fact of the matter is, He is always with us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout a big amen if you believe it. He is always there with you. Amen. When you're driving that car and it was jamming. By the way, Sister Elizabeth, is she here today? Sister Elizabeth? Oh, she's in the Sunday school. I was being given a testimony about what happened last Sunday, that one of our sisters, you know, took her, insisted that she would go, that she takes them out for lunch with the mama. And she was not feeling well, and she just wanted to go. She wanted to go and rest, you know. And but this sister continued to, she insisted after the service, they really wanted to go have a good time, you know, have a meal together and have fellowship together. Now, when they went there, Sister Elizabeth noticed something in her car, and she was really adamant going to that restaurant. She really needed to go home, as she was, you know, worn out. She was not feeling well. But when she got there, she realized that her car had lost the brakes. You know, she was going, and you know the way you apply your brakes and the car is still going. That is what was happening with her car. And she just realized that God was intervening, caused that sister to insist they go for lunch, because that car would not be moved out of that restaurant, because it would not have gone. If she would have just rejected and just said, you know what, I don't want to go to the restaurant, probably they would have been involved in a tragic accident, maybe on 635 while going home. But I thank God, because He is a God who sees in the future. Amen. You may not really understand why you're going through some things right now, but God is able to look into the future, and He is able to organize things and to orchestrate things behind the scenes so that you may not fall into a trap. Amen? Hallelujah. And many times, I don't know whether you are like me, many times I'm agonizing and I'm needing God to intervene and I'm praying and I'm wanting God like yesterday and I'm, God, why don't you understand? I've done this, I've called upon your name, and I'm feeling so discouraged. But God knows everything. He is the Bible, he is an omnipotent God, the all-knowing God. Amen. You know, God knows everything about you. He knows how your structure is. He knows how or where you're going to be 1 year from today. He knows how many plates of food you're going to eat, you know, 2 years from today. He knows how many cups of water you're going to have 2 years from today. If somebody asked you how many glasses of water do you think you're going to take the next 2 years, you're going to say, are you crazy? I don't know. I don't even understand. But if you'd ask God that question, he will give you an answer just at the fingertip. Oh, you're going to have about 7,647 glasses of water. And you'd be like, me? You know? What I'm trying to say is, he understands and he's there and he orchestrates things behind our scenes to make sure that we have a clear passage. We are talking about discouragement. Now, everyone at any one time may have been discouraged. Discouragement can come to leaders of nations. Discouragement will not choose the status of life. I've seen people, I've heard people, or I read about people who had billions of money that experienced discouragement. I know preachers who I've read about that encountered discouragement. Discouragement will not spare your status of life. It will come to you whether you're a rich man, whether you have money in the bank, whether you think you have it all together. It will come to a poor man. Discouragement will never spare anybody. It can come to you, but God is telling us, even as we delve into his word today, that there are ways we can combat discouragements. Praise the Lord. See, the Bible calls us masters, and we have been called servants of reconciliation. God has put, we have an innate thing that God has deposited in our hearts to sense when somebody is being discouraged. And God wants us to be his extended hands, even as we discern discouragement in our midst, and to encourage people to be sensitive about what they're going through, to stand in the gap, to pray for them so that they can come out of this seizure of discouragement. So as I told you, even preachers get discouraged. In fact, there was a book by Walking with the Giants by Warren Worsby. It says Martin Luther, Spurgeon, Alexander White, John Henry, Jowett. We may not even recognize these names because they were names that were reputable a while ago. This man, the Bible says, the book says, all admitted to times of serious discouragement. You know, if there are people who really get discouraged, are ministers of the gospel. You know, sometimes you carry the burdens of people. You feel what people are going through. And let me tell you, if you don't get easily connected with God and if you don't desire or learn how to take everything in prayer, you can really, read as a servant of God, lead a very discouraged life. Because, you know, what affects people, you know, I don't know how God does it for a shepherd, but you carry that burden. You feel like, you know, it's like they're carrying, it is like you're carrying what they're going through. So if you don't get connected with God so that you can hand over the things that they're going through to the Lord, it can really, really bog down. It could have been maybe a chronic disease that you experience. It could be maybe a stale marriage that you're going through, a prolonged unemployment. People also can disappoint us. They can discourage us. You could have counted on one of your friends, and you said, you know what, can you do this thing for me? And then they failed you at the last moment. That discouraged you, and you are left in a corner whereby you are discouraged. Praise the Lord. Disappointment you can also be disappointed. You can be disappointed with people who are very close to you. Family members can discourage you. You know, and as I told you, the men of God also can get discouraged. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 3, Paul speaks about them, and this is what he says. He says, Demas, having loved this pleasant world, you gotta understand that Demas was was one of the companions of Paul. They preached together. He knew God. And they were praising God. They were sharing the word of the Lord together. But a point in time came where Demas, you know, turned against the Lord. And he loved the things of the world. And Paul looked so discouraged. In 2 Timothy verse number 10. And he says, Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. So as a matter of fact, people can be discouraged. You could be discouraged also about God. You know, there could be moments whereby you prayed and you memorized a promise and you prayed to God and you prayed and things didn't seem to have worked. And I've found people who have turned against God just because they are disappointed with God. I remember a time back in Kenya, wanted really to come to the United States, and I applied for a visa. I've told you this 1,000 times. I applied for a visa, paid money. I went even to see the bishops who would give me recommendations letter. In fact, as a matter of fact, I remember one bishop told me that, you know, I needed to come up with 40,000, give him so that he could write a recommendation letter. You know the bishop that I'm talking about. So he could give me recommendation letter so that I could go to the embassy. I went to Catalonia. I went to Catalonia. You know, Catalonia is a place where you pray and fast. I fasted and prayed and fasted, and I went to this cubicle, and I felt like in my spirit I heard the voice of the Lord telling me that your visa and your son's visa and your wife's visa is at the American embassy, and nobody can tunya you. And so I'm coming out of that cave, and I'm really encouraged. But I was wondering, did I hear myself, or was it the Lord speaking to me? But there was that voice again, the still voice of the Spirit of God telling me, it is the Lord that is confirming His word. And I'd gone there, I'd said, I will not come out of this Catalonia place until the Lord confirms His word that I'm going to get a visa. And my wife kept on calling me, saying, I think you've been there long enough, you need to come back home. The Lord answers and hears prayers. And to cut a long story short, I come out of Catalonia, and I'm prepared with confidence and with all my briefcase filled with statements and filled with everything that the American people would want. And I'm presenting myself before the consulate in Nairobi. And as I present myself, the lady that was really, every time I go, it's like it had been arranged that's the same lady that I'll talk to, called back on me to come here. And I said, God, what is going to happen? But I had the confidence that I had God from Catalonia. And we cut a long story short. She looked at all my documents and she said that she is still not convinced that I will come back when I go to America. Dejected and almost crying, tears. You know that sometimes as a man there are tears that you have, but they are not really, you cannot see them. You know that you are crying inside, but you don't, the tears, and you cannot see the tears. Those are the tears that I had, and I dejected, and I didn't know even when I got even to, it is called Machakos bus station, or it is called where you board the matatus to Nakuru. I didn't even realize how I got there. I didn't even realize that I boarded a matatu. I didn't even realize how I got to my hometown. I was a discouraged man, praise the Lord. And I was wondering, God, did I not hear you in Catalonia? Did I not hear your voice? Discouragement, you can be discouraged by God. God, as I told you, my brothers and sisters, He looks way ahead of your life. He orchestrates and puts everything together for your good. When we are going through stuff of life, it looks like, you know, why don't God just come and solve this problem? But God knows if He can solve that problem, something will not work in the future. But God wants to connect. It could be building your character. It could be doing something that is connected to where He wants you to go. And let me tell you, one time, I told you this before. I planned to go to South Africa. Even now, was not even really praying much. And I wanted to go to South Africa. I even paid for a school. That door also closed on me. I was so discouraged. And you know the way sometimes people just fill out papers for green card. And you feel and forget. That was the time we had a bomb blast. And we filled out. I remember we anointed. We were holding our hands with a brother called Solomon. And we came with my brother and Catherine, and we anointed those envelopes and we sent them and we forgot about them. But one day, after about 2 years, I'm going through this thing. I've lost my job. Let me tell you, you know, back in Kenya, when you're working in a bank, you have good moolah. You have good money. You know, 25,000, that was a lot of money, 25,000 Kenya shillings. You know, you walk tall when you have 25,000 in those days. But now I have quit the bank. I have a wife to support. I have a son to support. And here I am sitting here. I don't know what to do. I ended up going to, and I told you this story. I ended up going to Kisii with my small pickup, 1200, to buy mananasi. And I would go and I would cut. And I almost started speaking Kikisii. Because those women would say, those mananasi. I would say, yeah, you know. And I would bring those pineapples and I would speak to them. And I would tell them, you pineapples, you're going to be eaten. And I remember we were lining up. We were laying hands on them. We were even praying that, see, anybody who eats these pineapples, you're going to be healed. And let me tell you, I was going, my friends, I would see the friends that we used to work together in the bank, smartly dressed in their suits and in a tie. But they would see me dejected in a corner, in a Nakuru street corner near Pekas. You know where Pekas is? Those of you who know Nakuru. And I'm saying, Kobole, 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 ni akuchonga leo. And I'd hire some people to come and, you know, to slice the pineapples. Kobole, Kobole, ni leo. They would sing a chorus and I would join them. And you know, when the pineapple, what the juice from the pineapples fall on your pants and the dust comes, it's like glue. And they would see me this in this situation and they would look at that man who used to be smartly dressed and they would cut a corner and I would feel dejected. But one day, somebody say one day, there's going to be a one day in your life. There's going to be a one day in your life. Hallelujah. If it were not God, I would not be standing holding this microphone speaking to you. God had not seen me in the future, if God had not seen me and orchestrated things in my adversity, I would not be holding this microphone. Because one day I went to the post office to check mail. You know, those days you have to go to the main office in the town and open up your box. And I saw a letter saying, congratulations, welcome to America. Let me tell you, I got into my 1200. I didn't even know how I got to Langa Langa Mwisho, speaking in tongues, and I dropped the letter on the table. And my wife could not believe it because we were going through so much hard time. My wife could not believe it. She says, "Wacha kucheza na mimi, Tony. Hii si maneno ya kucheza na mimi." I told her, "Baby, this is for real. I think we have been accepted in the United States of America." Cut a long story short, we process the diversity visa, and I go to the embassy. And believe you me, the same lady who was watching. The same lady who was watching my certificates against the light to see the authenticity of the certificates called me, and I said, "This time you are not going to reject me. My God has vindicated me." Hallelujah. And she looks, before she even says anything, she says, "Welcome to the United States of America." I almost broke into a dance and said, "God," because it's one day. There's going to be a one day for you. There are situations that come in our life and we don't understand why they come through. You're doing everything right. You're helping the poor. You're even paying your tithes. You're even giving up your offerings. You're never missing for a Sunday service. But suddenly things can go haywire. You know, it doesn't mean that God has dejected you. I'm speaking to some individuals in this church this morning who you are going through a tough time. You're going through some hell and high water and you're feeling like you're burning up. I am telling you, as surely as I'm speaking to you, there's going to be a one day for you. God is going to turn everything around. Many people be dejected, you know, when they're going through phases of discouragement, and this is what happens. Turn to pornography. Many people turn to travel. They say, "I don't even need to do anything with God." They turn to sports. They even turn to illicit drugs. They turn to alcoholism. Discouragement can be bad. Some even take up their lives. Discouragement is a bad thing. But when you learn to connect with God, when you know that God for surely is on your side, when you know that God, in spite of the things that I'm going, He will come through for me. Hallelujah. You remind yourself what happened to Job. That Job, in spite of the things that he went through, God never left him up. He, when people, his very close friends looked at Job and they said, "Oh, I think God is really whooping up." Have you ever heard somebody saying, "I think God is really dealing with his purity right now. He's whooping up." Let me tell you, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say about other people. Don't look at somebody on the street so dejected and they are dirty. That might be the next prime minister of a certain place, or a manager of a certain cave, or a certain place of a certain enterprise. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Job's wife looked at him and said, I think my husband, sweetheart, you know what? At this rate, I don't even mind you going. You just curse God. In fact, I love you so much. I wouldn't want you to die. But this, I cannot stand you going through with all these souls. I'm turning you and I'm seeing, you know those, what do you call it? Purse? Is it called purse? Or what do you, is that, what? Purse. You know, I'm seeing all these, you know, unhealed wounds. I'm seeing you with these, you're so lanky. You're so thin. You're so emaciated. I cannot stand this sight of my beloved husband. Just curse God and die. And God tells her, Job tells his wife, why do you speak like a foolish woman? See, Noah had learned to connect with God. Let me tell you, church, if adversity hits us, if there's going to be that, like for example, that they, like they say in the end times, people will be chopped their heads for those that will be left through rapture. Now, that's a whole different story that I don't want to get into. But what would happen if you'd go through adversity and you have God in your life? Are we going to surrender? Are we going to give up the tower because of the things that we go through? Listen, my brother and my sister, I can confidently tell you through my experience with God that God always comes through. I am telling you the truth. If you hold fast on the promises of God, if you don't quit on God, God is able to see you in your future, and he is lining up behind the scenes, and he is giving you divine connections even while you're sleeping, and he is going to connect you up with your destiny. If you believe it, say a big amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel it so strong in my life that sometimes you can be so discouraged. And you don't want anything to do with Pastor Tony. You don't want anything to do with Jesus. You don't want... I understand. I totally understand. But I'll turn you around and tell you that there's something else beyond discouragement. Do you think, in your persona, that God looks at your discouragement and says, Haya, even that hit you, Jerry. You mean, Haya? You mean through this? Where are you going to get the money for your rent? You think God says like that? And he looks at you and says, Haya, I didn't think that your tire would just break down and all the rims and you need $400 right now. Where are we, what are we going to do? And God calls a committee in heaven. Can we please raise money to give Brother William some tires? Do you think God does like that? God understands. Even when it happens, he knows it. And he knows how he is going to do it, Brother Francis. You're not going to go without food. Going to go without clothing. You're not going to go without a shelter because he's your provider. Hallelujah. Some of us have given testimonies that when we were at the blink, we didn't even have money to do whatever we wanted to do, but suddenly God showed up. At one time, you know, I remember, I think it was Sister is it Tony or Wambui giving us a testimony of how somebody just came and hit their glass. I don't know whether at that time they I don't know whether they needed the money, but somebody came hit a corner of their car somehow, and they said, oh, they were shaking. What can I do? Can I give you $400? Give me $400. And you go around, turn around and buy that thing for $20. Do you know that's a good deal? $380. One time we were going to church. Listen. One time we were going to church, and let me not say that. But anyway, we are going to church, and somebody crossed a red light, okay? He crossed a red light, for sure. And he came slamming on somebody's, a teenage girl, and her car was thrown actually on the other side of the road. Now we were coming like we were doing like 50 miles an hour, because that's the speed limit on that road, for sure. And we were coming, and we came and slammed into her car. Guess what? I saw my bumper fell down. Everything fell down. Everything. I mean, the car could not. You know, I think one of my tires. My tires. I don't know whether the tire came off, but you know, the car would still be drivable. But you'd hear very funny sounds. You could not go fast. Anyway, ended up calling the insurance, and you know what? When I looked into my car, only the bumper. The bumper had been hit. And you know what? An adjuster came and he called me. He looked like a friendly man. And he said, oh, this car, oh my goodness. Who hit you? You know, this car is a total loss. I said, is it? Is it a total loss? Oh, okay, total loss. Anyway, cut long story short, they ended up sending a $6,000 to total up the car. And I took it to 175, Highway 75, to a Hispanic friend of mine, guess what, how much he charged me? $900. So I say, the devil intended to kill me, but God on the other side blessed me. I put the money in my... Why are you not saying put the money in my... So, God has many ways to bless you. You know, sometimes you're going through adversity and you think, oh, I'm in Meisha. I'm done. But God is working out. Everything works for good to them that love the Lord. Amen? And according to His purpose, everything works for good to them that love the Lord. Your adversity right now may be painful. You might be crying. At the end of the night, you're turning and you're turning and you're counting. You are counting and you're seeing. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, God is working out something for you. God is faithful. Praise be to God. Number one. I can't go. I was just laying down. Number one. To overcome discouragement, we need a fresh encounter with God's word. I want us to read the Bible in the book of Ezra, chapter number 4, verse number 4. If you don't have your Bibles, I know Sister Lorraine is going to put it up there. But this is what the Bible says in Ezra, chapter number 4, verse number 4. It says this: Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and frightened them from building. The work on the building, the temple in Jerusalem, stopped for about 16 years. Somebody say 16 years. I'm up to something here. The work of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem stopped for about 16 years. Now, you got to understand what happened. Here, these are the children of Israel. They've been taken captive because they had deserted the Lord. And King Nebuchadnezzar besieged most of them. That's why we read about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are besieged. They are taken captives into the land of Babylon. And a time comes, God, they cry out to their Lord. You remember, I've spoken to you many times, and you know it's there in Psalm 137. They could not even sing the Lord's song in a foreign... How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? But anyway, God is so gracious, and He brings them back to their land, okay? But there are some still that were left, you know, in Babylon. And so these guys come and they are so eager to build up the temple. And it looks like the work has begun. But you know what? The people that they found in that land started to discourage them. Oh, this is not the time. What are you? Why are you building? You know, can you imagine you've been captivated and now you're coming to build up this temple of the Lord? Why don't you, first of all, take care of yourselves? It sounds logic, right? Like if you come from prison or if you've been without money and you to have everything connected for you, you'd want to take care of yourself, right? So you can provide for your family, so you can live a better life. Is that what everybody would do here? Does it sound logic? And so they discouraged them and they said, oh no, stop building. And guess what? They yielded to their talk, and they got so discouraged. And they agreed to what these people in the land were telling them. And so the project of rebuilding the temple went in a coma for 16 years. Think about this. 16 years. And at that time, everything seemed to be working okay. Everybody is getting a job. You're getting even high-profile job. Everybody is driving a nice car. Everybody living in a very good neighborhood. Everybody is having party. You know, we are coming together and we are just having merry and we're having fun. Things are going good for us. And it seems like it's going good for us. And let me tell you, these things happen the same even today. It seems like, you know, everything is going on okay. You know, if you need a job, you apply and you can go there and you can find access and you can get a good job. If you need a business, you can get some connection here and there. You can apply for a bank. If your credit is good, you can get credit and you can do a business. And everything seems to be taking off. But on the other hand, the Lord was lamenting in His spirit. He desired to have a place where these people who just came out of captivity, a place where they would call a house of God, where they would come and seek Him. And this is what the Bible says in the book of, if you read in the book of Haggai, chapter number 1, 4 to 9, The Lord says, can we go there? Can we go? God, can you give me that? This is what the Lord said. Is a time for you yourselves to live in your panelled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now the Lord of hosts say this, think carefully about your ways. Somebody say, think carefully about your ways. Come on, say like you mean it. Think carefully about your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink but never have enough to become drunk. You put on clothes but never have enough to get warm. Wow. The wage earner puts his wages in a bag with a hole in it. The Lord of hosts says this, think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring the lumber and build the house. Then I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but then it amounted to little. When you brought the house to your house, I ruined it. Is the Lord able to ruin it? Is the Lord able to ruin your harvest? It says like there, right? You will bring in your harvest. You brought in your harvest, but I reap. Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts. Because my house still lies in ruins, while each of you is busy with his own house. This was a source. They were discouraged because people came and told them, you know, you don't have to build up this house of the Lord. Quit it. You know, start looking for jobs. It is time to look for job. Get jobs, you know. Build a nice house. Apply for mortgage. Do this. Apply. Start a business. And it seemed good. It's logic. In fact, if somebody told me about it, maybe I'll be on the others. I'll be with them. Maybe trying to look for business. I'll be the one maybe applying for a mortgage so that I can live well. Because it sounds very logic. Are you listening to me? But on the other hand, the Lord was lamenting. I said, okay, mumeamua kufanya hivyo, I will deal with it then. The Bible says that he put pockets. He put holes in their pockets. He ruined their harvest. Let me tell you, there are many, many, many people, and I'm not talking about people in our church here. Many people in our community, especially people from Africa, we come here and I know the reason why we get so busy and we are go-getters, which is a good thing. That is a very good characteristic of all of us. I think it is because back at home we are denied and we don't have opportunities, and when we come here, suddenly opportunities, you know, are available and we pursue, which is good. But even in the midst of pursuing those opportunities, the Lord says, let us not neglect him. Let us not desert him. He is the blesser. Somebody say the blesser. He is the one who orchestrates for those blessings to be available, Pastor Francis. If the Lord says you're not going to go to work tomorrow, who is going to say that you're going to go to work? All he needs to do is come and just press you on the hip there, and you will not be able to wake up in the morning. You know? God forbid that he will do that. But he is the one who orchestrates even you to go to work. Amen? He orchestrates that you don't have an accident. He orchestrates that you don't have sicknesses and diseases. How many people do you, most of you are nurses and are in the medical profession. How many of you know of people who lay in the hospital bed, they cannot even turn their head to the right or to the left. They cannot even lift up their hand. Yet God has been so gracious to you. You know, every morning you wake up, you feel energized, you have this no pain in your butt. Do you know what a blessing it is? There are some times when I wake up and I feel like there was a 2 tons on my back. And first of all, I wake up, I think I'm growing old, and I have to do like something like, so I can feel better. But this, when I was in the 20s, I never had any back aches. I would wake up, pick up the blankets and go and do things, you know. And I used to be very active. You know, as you grow old, things start happening. Slowly by slowly. You know, I never used to have a problem looking at television. I enjoy very clarity in television. Now, I am realizing everything is like, have you ever been in a 3D movie without the glasses? Have you ever been a 3D purity without the glasses? You see, it's like you're seeing double vision. So I'm looking at TV and you know, I used to wonder why my dad is doing like this. And he's looking for glasses, almost beating everybody. I'm not there yet, but... I'm like, who is that? Rejoice when you wake up in the morning and you're healthy. And not everybody's like that. It is the Lord who gives us this strength. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I am not saying that we don't pursue our goals and endeavors. Go to school. Go do. Pursue a business opportunity when it comes forth. Go ahead and create means. Because God has really, let me tell you, God blesses a foreigner. God has empowered you to make wealth in America. Somebody say amen. But even in your pursuit, do not forget. Do not forget the house of God. Do not forget the house of God. Don't allow yourself, and I'm very serious when saying this, do not allow yourself to be so busy that you don't even have time to come to the house of God even for prayer. That you don't even have time to go come to the house of God, even for a gathering. There are people that I used to see, when I call them, they don't return my phone call. I ask them, well, how are you doing? They don't, I just leave a message. I've called several people and I left a message. Where have you been? They don't even return my phone call. But I've also seen people that I don't see for a long time, and I try to call them, but suddenly I see a phone call coming from them. And I say, okay, this must be something going on. And guess what? The next statement is, how are you? How is the children? How is everything going on? And say, like, but Pastor, the reason why I called you is, okay, now give me the whole story. You need to come right now. You need to come. And I go. Because that's the work the Lord has given me. Amen? But if we will be connected to the house of the Lord as we pursue these things, then the Lord's responsibility will be to see. Do you know what it means for the Lord to seal your holes? If the devil poked your holes and you're committed to the Lord and he comes and seals those, you know, I'm seeing the Lord Nasharahani, anaziba mashimo, mifuko yako anaziba, so that when you put the money stays there. Ama, when you put a tire, if God was able to sustain the children of Israel and give them shoes that would renew themselves, I believe butter or tiger or whatever makes those shoes, you know, automatically would come and renew the glory of the shoe. So that the shoe would not tie off. Unaweka matairi kwa gari yako, unachapa miaka ine. Yeah? Without a flat. Can you imagine without a flat? How many times have you had a flat this year? Huh? In the middle of the night. Had one yesterday. But that's not because I've neglected. I believe that was the devil trying to attack me. See, there are things God will bring in your life that God wants to prove your character. But there are also things that the devil will bring you in your life. That's why we have to be discernful to know which is. And we have to tell God, God help me so that I can persevere this thing if I know it is coming from you. But if it is not coming from you, deliver me from it. Because not everything comes from God. There are things the devil sends your way so that he can discourage you and keep you off the trail of the Lord. But there are also things, like in Job's case, that the Lord will bring so that he can prove himself who he is in you. So do not bind those things when you know they are from the Lord. If you bind them, they will not be bound. They are going to stay until the process is imemaliza kazi. Unaelewa? If God says, William, I want to prove to the world that you are my son. I'm not going to say God forbid. Because by the end of the process, you'll be looking at the man and you'll be saying, surely he has been in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Because God has a way of working in our lives through adversity. He has a way of working through our lives, through the things that we go through. But if I know that no sickness, God is not going to send any sickness to my child, I am going to pray. Let me tell you, Friday, we came up here for Kesha. My wife was fine. She comes here. For those who are you came on Friday night. Yeah? Was it Thursday? Oh, Thursday. Was it Thursday? No, it was Friday. Bible study. Yeah, it was for Thursday, I remember. So she comes here and she came very fine. You know, she came very fine. Suddenly, her leg started to swell. She could not do anything. In fact, she had to hold on my shoulder to take, we left on the parking lot because she could not drive it. But I remember I called a certain brother, some brothers, and we laid our hands on her, and we pray. That is not from God. Let me tell you. You will know if that was not from God. So we fix the devil in the name of Jesus. You cannot attack her leg. It cannot swell anymore. And we were going, you know. She would not even step. I told her, baby, tomorrow morning, you'll be fine. So I went home. We did a little first aid. You know, I was advised by Sister Fine. Thank God for nurses. They told me what to do. Go buy this, go buy the other. And did it. I am telling you the truth. When Katyn woke up in the morning, there was no swelling. There was no pain. She unbandaged herself and she walked on her feet. You know, those things are brought by the devil to discourage us. So you have to stand alert and know whether this thing is of the devil or it is of God. If it is, tell God, God, I pray for your strength. I want to go through this thing so that I can come and march out. I can, Lord, I don't have money, but you're teaching me how stewardship. If this is from you, Lord, may you help me. May you enable me so that I can go through this situation. It is not going to be permanent. Somebody, nothing is permanent. It is temporarily trying to work some things in your life so that when you come out, we were studying in the Bible study the other day that you know what? For gold to be what it is subjected under very high temperatures. You know? You cannot, the gold that you know is authentic, it was passed through very high temperatures. Silver, every precious metal, for it to be pure, it has to be subjected under very intense high temperature. In order for us to be, we are like silver or gold. If you want to be gold, trust me, you're going to go through some stuff. But when you come out of the other side, you'll be glittering and people will be wanting. You know, you'll be praying for things that didn't happen to mara moja. Why? Because you've gone through the fire. You've been purified. Hallelujah. Lakini hakuna ka gold kanatoka atuka nasema, hii moto, hapana. To circumvent the motto, I am gold. You are gonna be, there's no gold there. You still have impurities. So you still have to go. You go back. If you want to be really gold and go through the fire. Are you listening to me? But if something comes from the enemy, with all the strength that God has given you, God says that I've given you power and authority. If the devil brings sicknesses to your children, before you call the pastor to pray together, say this, say, devil, I am speaking to you as a child of God who Jesus died for 2,000 years ago, and he has given power and authority. If you want to say that, you can say that. I come against you, you spirit of fever. Right now, I command you, pack all your belongings. I send you to the bottomless pit. Kwenda katika jina la Yesu. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You cannot attack my child. You cannot attack my husband. You cannot attack my wife. Get out of this house. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you. You think the devil doesn't hear those sounds? By the time you finish that prayer, that child will be without fever. If you really mean it. Because God has given us power and authority. The Bible says nothing shall by any means hurt you, Sister Carol. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Shall by any means. Can you listen? Nothing shall by any means. That means that wakaenda kwa urogi, wakaenda kwa Dr. Kabuela, wakaenda kwa Dr. Mungani. Nothing shall by any means. Goodness gracious, my good. Man, Tony, nothing shall by any means. Somebody put some eggs on your doorsteps or a white chicken that has been cut. The Bible says nothing shall by any means hurt you. When they speak against you, those words are cancelled in the heavenly places because the Bible says nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory be to Jesus. When you know it is raining and there are thunderstorms and you're driving and you feel like you're scared, you need to say, nothing shall by any means hurt me. I am going to be protected. There are angels on my side of a car. There are angels on the left. There are angels on the right. There are angels controlling traffic on my behalf, even though I may not see them. There are angels falling on the back. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. And he says, I will step on the snakes. What are snakes? Dangerous things. And scorpions, things that will pierce you, trauma you, you know, fire like fire. Things that people are planning against you behind the scenes. Do you know, let me tell you, you might be walking and there are people who are planning ill against you. They want to be you to be fired. They want you, they even call the IRS, shame on them. They even call on the IRS on you. Huh? I think I'm preaching. Anybody who plans to call IRS on anybody, ashamed in the name of Jesus. We silence that spirit in the name of Jesus. Even want to talk to your bosses how bad you are. Those are snakes and scorpions. You shall snake, step on them, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Child of God, you are in a position to succeed. You are in a position to go far. You are in a position to acquire things here in America. There's no way God would have brought you all the way from Kenya or from wherever you have come from to come and frustrate you here. Nimekata. There's no way he sent you all the way from where there was nothing to where there was something to come and frustrate you. Get your everything right with God and you begin to see God working things for on your behalf even while sleeping. Can call you and tell you, you know what, I have a surprise for you. Just because you're a child of God. Live in this country with an expectancy that God can do anything. I don't believe any one of us should be frustrated as long as we are seeking Him. As long as we are connected with Him. We can pursue whatever we pursue. And I guarantee you that God is going to give us victory. Are you listening to me, church? Stand on your feet right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Let me tell you, they say dawn. Dawn. I mean, the darkness is great as a dawn. When when the daybreak is just about to break, that's when darkness, I don't know why they say that, but that's, they say that's when it's pitch black. Yeah, it looks like things are really, really working out so bad. Man, when everything is going haywire, and when everything does seem to work, that just don't give up, because at that time, oh my goodness, daybreak is going to come. And when daybreak comes, you don't have to struggle. When daybreak comes, that's it. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand to God in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you just as we are, Lord. We completely surrender ourselves to you. You know our lives from A to Z. You don't need to learn anything about us. You even know what is going to happen in our lives 2 years from today. You have numbered our days. You even know when we are going to exit this world. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that even as we occupy this planet, we shall occupy it with a sense that we are living it. And that we shall not hold ourselves to stuff. We shall hold ourselves to the things that hold us so strongly that we fail to even come to the house of the Lord. To even develop a relationship with you, oh God. After all this is said and done, this world and everything in it is going to vanish. But what is going to remain is the relationship that we have with you. I pray for each and every single member in this church that we shall be men and women who are seekers of the Lord, authentic seekers of the Lord. We shall not come here because we wanted to meet somebody. We shall not come here because we wanted to be in a group of people. But we shall be coming here because seek a relationship with you. I thank you for these men and women. Those that have been discouraged, Lord, I pray that you shall lift their heads. Jesus, haven't you said that you are the lifter of our heads? You understand our discouragement. You understand our weaknesses. You understand the things we go through, Lord. May you encourage us. May you help us. Let us see through the eyes of the Father, because the Father have good plans for each one of us. Plans to develop us. Plans not to fail us. Plans to for with an expected end. In the name of Jesus, I speak Jeremiah 29:11 to every one of us. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that goodness and mercy shall never depart from us. Our children shall be on the forefront, succeeding. In the name of Jesus, we shall be on the forefront, pursuing businesses and pursuing careers, oh Lord, that will add up to what. But as even as we do that, we shall not neglect the house of God. For we know what happened to the children of Israel when they just did everything they wanted to do. And Lord, you say you ruined their harvest. Our harvest is not going to be ruined, because we are gonna love and we are gonna support the work of the ministry. We are gonna have a relationship, a pure relationship with you, to the glory and honor of your name. That will be our passion, to love you with the whole of our hearts and the whole of our minds and the whole of our bodies, the whole of our being. putting you number one in our lives. Yes, Lord, I pray. Help us to put you, that in the midst of when we are busy, when we are doing what we are supposed to do every day, we shall not fail to put you at the top of the list. The devil would want to forget this, but we refuse him in the name of Jesus. We resist him. Let him flee from us right now in the name of Jesus. Bless your people. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their lives. I pray that you shall cover each one of them by the precious blood of Jesus. Let them know that they should walk high and tall, because they are children of the Most High God. They are children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Children of the Most High God. This is their title. This is what they are. And never no harm in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Bless you. May you open up ways and avenues, and whatever ways that needs to be open, let it be open, that they may walk through and know that you are intervening in their lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him a praise.